Shalom Aleichem, everyone, as we prepare for Shabbos Parshas Kairach and the upcoming summer season, a season in which many of us have different schedules and need to make something good of it. For Parshas Kairach, let me start with a technical, a Dvar Torah, and then an inyan of Machshav. I'm going to start with the later part of the parasha, which deals with the mitzvah of Trumais and Maisris. Now, of course, the coming year is the year of Shemitah, and every yeshiva bacha knows that on Shemitah, we are not obligated to give Trumais and Maisris from the produce of Eretz Yisrael. Why? Why is it this way? Why is Shemitah produce part of Trumah and Maisris? Rashi, in Mesechtes Rosh Hashanah, and Tesvav Amid Aleph, quoting a Mechilta, says that we learned this from a Pasuk. The Pasuk says, regarding Shemitah, V'yisram teichol chayas asadeh, whatever you leave in the field that remains will be eaten by the animals of the field. So the Gemara darshins, ma chayas asadeh oichla u'peturim min ha-maiser, just like what's eaten by wild animals, of course, has no din of trumas u'maiseris. Afadam, also when a human being eats Shemitah produce, he is part of giving Trumas u'Maisris. That's what Rashi says. The Turi Evan is Akasha. He says, why do you need a Pasuk to tell you that Hefker is part of Trumas u'Maisris? Shemitah is Hefker. Why do you need a Pasuk to tell you that Hefker is part of Trumas u'Maisris on Shemitah? Typically, that all Hefker is part of Trumas u'Maisris. We already know that the reason the Levi gets Truma and Maiser, which is mentioned all the time, including in this week's parasha. It's interesting, in Yeshua, in Sefer Yeshua, when it says the Levim don't have a chelik in Eretz Yisrael, each time it says it, it repeats. Because Hashem u'nachalosai. In other words, the Levi doesn't get Trumas u'Maisris because he doesn't have a part in Eretz Yisrael, and therefore he gets that instead of his part in the land, in Hefker, where a Levi and a Yisrael are equal. Levi and Yisrael could take from Hefker equally. So there's no Trumas u'Maisris. It's a rule in Hefker. Why do I need a special pasuk in regard to Shemitah when I already know that Hefker is Potter? This is the Turi Evans Kasha, and there are a number of Mahalchim in how to answer it. I would like to use this opportunity to introduce you to one of the most fundamental of the Machleiksen regarding the upcoming Shemitah year, and show how the Marit brings a Raya from this Kasha to his own Shita. Let me explain. We all know that in Shemitah the fields are Hefker, and a person can go and take from any field he wants. Now, does this mean that during Toshin Pei Beis, which is Shemitah, if you're driving out in Eretz Yisrael, somewhere in the country, and you pull over, and you have an apple tree, you can just take an apple and eat it? I would think, yes, it's Shemitah. The Beis Yosef and the Marit had the following dispute. There are two ways to learn Shemitah. You could learn that the fields are Hefker because of what they call Hafkata de Malka. The king made them Hefker. God declared all the fields in Eretz Yisrael are Hefker on the Shemitah year. Or you could learn, no, it's Hafkata de Gavra, meaning the fields are not Hefker, the fields belong to people. There's a mitzvah saseh on every Jewish farmer to make the fields Hefker. When I say the fields, I mean the produce of the fields. That the produce of the field, he should declare them Hefker. Nafkamina is, according to the second way of learning, if he does not declare them Hefker, then they're not Hefker. He did an Aveira. He's supposed to declare them Hefker. According to the second Shita, the Turi Evans Kasha is answered. Why? Because it's true. when a farmer makes his field hefker, of course it's patur from Trumas HaMaisos. But what happens if you have a non-observant farmer who does not make his field hefker? What about his produce? Is it chayav in Trumas HaMaisos? So for this, I need a special pasuk to tell you, even then, there's no din Trumas HaMaisos. The point I'm making is this fundamental shaila, which is Negei Lamaisa. And the fields in Eretz Yisrael are hefker only because the farmer declared them hefker. Otherwise, it's Geneva, you know, a steal from a field. Or if it's Efkata de Malka, it's hard to say Psak Halacha in a question such as this. But with Shemitah coming up, it's the idea, it's a good, wonderful piece of knowledge about Shemitah for you to have. Let us move back to the parasha of Korach, the beginning of the parasha and the story of Korach. In the Penine Kilas Yaakov, there's a letter in which someone asked the stipler the following question. The Rambam says, Nizigeres Teiman, Hoydienu, HaKadosh Baruch Hu has taught us, Shekol Mishomer Al Har Sinai. Any individual who stood at Mount Sinai, Har Sinai at the time of giving of the Torah, she'maminim et nevuas Moshe Rabbeinu b'chol ma shebaal yodai heim u'bneihem u'bnei bneihem ad olam. Whoever stood at Har Sinai is inherently a mamin, will always believe him and his children for generations. She'kach omar HaKadosh Baruch Hu v'gam b'chol yaminu l'olam. Baruch Hu promised Moshe Rabbeinu that Jews would always believe in him. The fikach yesh lo das. And therefore, you should know, shakol mi shanota mederech hadas hanesuna bebamet har Sinai. Anybody who strays from the laws given at Sinai, she'inoi mizera ha'anoshim ahim. He's not a descendant of someone who stood at Sinai. V'kach amru chazal, al kol mi Hamistapek b'nevua. Anybody who's not sure about Moshe Rabbeinu's prophecy, loy omdu havoisov ahar Sinai. He must be a descendant of a ger. Rambam writes in numerous places in the Yad that there are certain midos that are inherent in the Jewish people, and if somebody doesn't have it, we need to worry that maybe he's not really a descendant of people who stood at Har Sinai. In Hilchas Tshuva, Perek Beis Halacha Yud, Zehu Darkam Shazari Yisrael, V'libam Hanochain. It's the normal way of a Jewish person to forgive, to let bygones be bygones, the Rambam says. It's an inherent genetic trait of a Jew. Aval ha'akum arlei leiv einam kein ele evrosam shemura netzach. Those who don't have this trait maintain their anger. B'cheinu oimer al ha'givaynim shaloi machlu. Those who know from Navi, the givaynim didn't forgive. And so on and so forth. So someone has to stipple in a letter, Korach stood at Har Sinai. There's no doubt that Korach didn't. You know, we blame most of the trouble in the Midbar on the Erev Rav. A very confusing thing. We blame, the Erev Rav, Asher Bikir. But what are you going to say about Korach? Korach certainly stood at Har Sinai, and he doubted the Nevuah of Moshe Rabbeinu. So someone wrote a letter to the stipler asking, what's pshat? To which the stipler answered. He said that the trait of a person, of a yid, is to be a mamin, to believe in Torah and Avodah. However, there's still bechira, there's still free will. He says the taivas hakavod, the taiva for honor, for respect, makes people fall away from Nevuas Moshe Rabbeinu. When people see the Derech HaTorah of being something in which they don't excel, and they want to excel, there's a big Yetzer Hara to find honor and covet in other things, in non-Torah ideas. It's a very dangerous thing. We find that very often. When yeshivas are not able to give the average student or the student who struggles a sense of worth, it's a very dangerous thing. Every human being has a certain amount of tavas hakavet. Every human being has a desire to be a respected person, to be an honorable person, to be someone who others look up to. And if mechanchim, yeshivas, parents are not able to give a person that sense of kavod, that self-esteem, it drives a person, God forbid, away from his inherent maminim b'nei maminim traits, his emunah. The stipler says this is where the danger is, in taivas hakavod. And Kairach had that. He had it in a big way. And the disciple mentions a second thing. He says, eating ma'acholei sasurais, eating food which is not really kosher, also pushes a person away from the inherent traits of believing in HaKadosh Baruch Hu, mitamteim halev. Now these are the two things the disciple chooses. Taivas hakavai and ma'acholei sasurais. Many people eat anything with a heksher. Many people eat things, they know there are disputes, they do have bugs, they don't have bugs, maybe, yeah, maybe not. People are callous sometimes in their eating habits and being careful that things are properly kosher. It's a danger. It's a sakana. It's a sakana to the ruchnius. And these are the two traits that the stipler brings. I would add an overarching consideration. And that is that a person has to live with the knowledge that it's not a hefkevelt. There has to be a discipline. Once you know there has to be a discipline, you may do well, you may not do well, you may do a half a job, not a full job, but you'll get to where you have to be. The life of a yid is to be disciplined, to be careful. Many women, before they give birth, go to labor classes. And part of the class is they give them breathing exercises. Every decade there's another one. There's the Swiss plan and all kinds of different plans of the husband's supposed to coach his wife. Breathe. Breathe in, let out. Breathe in, let out. And the husband knows it's all silly. Breathe in, breathe out. Well, that's going to change labor pains? The answer is yes. Because as long as a human being is focused, whatever he may be focused on, he's going to do the right thing. He'll be in control. And different diets that come and go. Different diets. Remember the Atkins diet? Everyone busy eating protein and losing weight. Are they all silly? No. Every diet that works is just telling a person, it's not a hefkevelt. Control yourself. Once you get into the mode of controlling yourself, if you control yourself this way, you control yourself that way, it doesn't matter so much. If you learn Hilchos Lashon Hara, Chofetz Chaim, two halachas a day, you're going to become an expert in Hilchos Lashon Hara? Maybe, maybe not. But you remind yourself every day. It's not a hefkevelt. What you could say, what you can't say, it depends. You have to know. It matters. It's not a hefkevelt. A yid has to know it's not a hefkevelt. What you eat, what you don't eat, you have to be guided. Some people have this standard or that standard, but you have to be guided. Taivas hakavod. Taivas hakavod comes from a hefkevelt. A person decides to be in, this insults him, that insults him. Of course people could get insulted, it's painful. But where does that lead you? You have to remain with the idea it's not a hefkevelt. We're guided by Torah. We're guided by rules. We're guided by Yerushalayim. It's not a hefkevelt. Kairach said, it's a hefkevelt. Kichola eida kulam kedoshim. We all can figure out what to do ourselves. We don't need Moshe Rabbeinu. Why did he pick Beged Shekulei Techeles? an item that's full of, a beggar that's full of tchelas is pater. He said, when you have ordinary clothing, you need something with holiness to give it holiness. But if the entire beggar is holy, you don't need to give it holiness. He meant to say, if all the Jews are holy, we don't need to be guided. We can figure it out ourselves. No. Yidden are naturally maminim in the voice Moshe Rabbeinu. But only if you know it's not a hefkevelt. You don't do what you want. You don't say what you want. You don't eat what you want. It's not a hefkevelt. It's a velt in which you have to be guided. A person who understands that, the Rambam's promise will come through. The Rambam's promise will come through that you're B'nai Yisrael, you won't be Achzorim, you'll be Meichel things, you won't be insulted, and you won't be carried away with Titus HaKavim. Gewaltig. What a lesson for Parshas Korach. And with that, I want to wish everyone a wonderful summer. Time's up. We'll talk next week. But the summer is not a hefkevelt. Vacation's not a hefkevelt. You don't leave things behind. Wherever you go, it's got to be with discipline. And have an absolutely wonderful Shabbos Kodesh.